intro right now?
Yeah.
Hey, welcome to Local Roots Podcast.
I'm Brian.
I don't want to do that again.
I did that last week, and I think we immediately said how stupid it was, but I went right back to it.
Well, that is okay.
You're Brian, too?
Yeah, I'm Brian, and...
I'm also Brian.
Brian, yeah, and it's the Brian show.
I don't know where Larry is.
Larry couldn't make it.
Larry's gone.
We do have a cool episode today, and I don't think there's any reason to tiptoe around it. We are in a bike shop. You might be watching this on video, but you probably aren't. So imagine us in a bike shop right now. Not only that, what bike shop are we in?
We are in Rockford Bike Shop in Rockford, Michigan.
You betcha.
With?
George.
And?
Katie.
And?
Craig.
Ooh. And?
Larry. Oof.
And Larry.
And Jackson. And Jackson.
So I'm Brian now, and the dog can be Larry. Is that cool?
The dog is Larry.
Jackson cannot
the dog
be Larry.
Is Jackson.
Jackson, you're Larry.
How cool is that?
Yeah. So, guys, thank you for letting us hang out here today.
Absolutely.
You're closed, and we appreciate it. We know you guys said you guys have been, like, crazy-ass busy. So we appreciate you guys taking the time.
Yeah, they've been working all day, and then they let us come in here and put mics all over the place and just go to town. So, I mean, I'm cool with it as long as you guys are.
And you're sitting at a bar in a bike shop.
That's like the dream, right?
I think this is the last bar that I sat at before COVID, and this is also the first bar.
Yeah.
So this is nice.
It's all come full circle now.
Full circle.
All right, we're ready for a new, and it's like kind of like sunset on like the new horizon. It's like kind of, it's like literature, right?
Yes.
It's like being a book.
We are a book. Yeah. So guys, we kind of want to talk to you guys about kind of how you guys came to be the face of Speed Merchants, then turned into now Rockford Bike Shop. Just give us a little background as to like who you are. I know a lot of people.
Brian and I both bought our bikes here, so it's. I mean, I'm new to Rockford, and
God, you're right. This is going to take 4 to 6 hours.
But I mean, yeah, just from like my standpoint, so when I first moved to Grand Rapids, I bought a new bike from a bike shop, and it was like it was cool. They were nice people, and like you know whatever. And then I wanted to get like a real bike. And I was kind of shopping around with different shops, and I met you guys, and I was like, holy shit, this is like a totally different caliber bike shop. these are also like totally different caliber people. Like, do you guys actually care about like the individual people, not just selling a bike? And it's really awesome, and I don't think you get that everywhere.
And I was, Brian's like, yeah, you don't have a choice. You have to buy your bike here. So
yeah,
so
that's at least check them out. They're badass.
And it was the best decision so far.
That bike you bought wouldn't happen to be the one that's by the brand of the shirt that
you're
wearing.
It is, yes.
All right, just check.
Encourage me to, Alexa got this for me from Etsy.
Whoa.
Yeah, it's nice.
So someone
it's
is
not a
on
Scott
Etsy
shirt. It is a
making
Scott
shirts for them, essentially?
Yeah.
All right. Do they not make shirts?
They do, but they're not $12.99, so.
Oh, okay.
Gotcha. Counterfeit.
Yeah, it's counterfeit. Yeah, they did a good job.
No, yeah, I would have never known.
Yeah, so the new place looks phenomenal, you guys. You're obviously staying busy as all shit, so I think it's a sign that you guys are doing great.
Do you mind talking a little bit? You're telling us earlier that you have like, you know, so much backordered right now, and it's just like, how are you keeping up? Can you kind of like fill in about like what the state of cycling is right now with everyone all of a sudden like, okay, back at
it? Yeah, because I'll notice that there's so many more people on the bike trails and everywhere on a bike, and you guys have to be like feeling that.
Well, so here's the deal. Kids got out of school like months.
2 months early, and mom's like, "Get the fuck
parents,
out of the house."
That's exactly it. Parents were either working at home, and they couldn't have their kids bugging them, or they were also furloughed or laid off. So they're like, "We need to get off the couch. We need to get off of the screens, and we need to get outside." So everyone was coming in so much sooner sooner than they normally would have for riding season.
I bet.
Because they're like, they finished watching Netflix. Like, they watched all of
it. All of Netflix has been watched.
I finished Netflix.
All of the Hulu, all of the Amazon, all of the streaming services, right? Disney's done.
Disney took like a half a day.
Once Mandalorian was done, I was kind of done.
Anyway, so everybody wanted to get outside, and there are people that normally don't have the time to get outside because they're stuck behind a desk, and including the kids behind their desks. And they're like, oh my gosh, we finally get to go outside. We get to hit the bikes. So all of the supply that was available got gobbled up pretty quick.
Right. Yeah.
And then all of
I know I was one of them. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you were.
And then, the cobra blood.
Won't let that one rest.
I won't. It's the coolest name ever.
It's cool.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
It's pretty awesome. But anyway, so then all the factories that make almost all the world's bikes, they all shut down for three months because of COVID.
That's wild.
And then the slow boats had to turn around and go back to that were carrying the partially assembled bikes and replacement parts accessories like tire pumps and helmets and handlebar grips and all that. They all had to turn around and go back to their port of origin because they couldn't dock because there were dock workers that are furloughed. So we've got a 6-month gap in our supply chain. So everyone that wants to buy a bike because they have time to ride, they can't get out. So
wow. But still, I mean, it's probably the best way still to come here, right? Because it's not like you can get them online or anything either, right?
But the thing is, because
you can't get them at Meijer, you can't get them at big box stores.
And
so the only fortunate thing about this is it's not like isolated to us or to, you know, your LBS, people can't just go and get your shitty
Everyone's
kind
of on the same plane.
Yeah. Or your shitty Pacifics or whatever, you know?
Yeah, it's Walmart, Target, Meijer, it's Village Bike Shop, it's Rockford Bike Shop, it's Elger, it's every bike shop in the country.
So you heard it here. There's like 3 bikes left. Everyone come on down.
Everyone come to Rockford. Exactly.
There are 7.
Okay? Oh, 7?
There are
7. Oh, my God, really?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Do you guys really only have 7 new bikes right now?
There might be 8.
That is wild. Okay, so the last time, George, you and I were talking about this earlier, the last time that I stayed at this bar, I don't know, 2-3 months ago, it was all new bikes.
These were always repair.
Okay, these were always repair. I do remember seeing my bike. But, like, these were all new. And no one, I mean, if you're watching the video, you can see. But it was all new.
Yes.
There's Super Cals. There were Scott Scales. There was some, like, dope-ass shit. And
and now we're showcasing everybody's repairs.
Yes.
Yeah, now it looks like you just sell a couple more brands here.
Sick, like, we don't know how to operate a business. Yeah. I mean, that's the crazy thing about this. I mean, fortunately, people keep coming in, but... I mean, yeah, it's a tiring conversation to have on a daily basis to try to explain supply chain.
It's out of bikes, which is crazy. Disappoint people on the phone and in person roughly 20 times a day when they're like, I want to buy a bike.
Yeah,
and I'm like, let me talk to you about this situation.
So it's literally like 6 months for some bikes or all.
Some bikes that we sell couple dozen of in a month on a normal year, we're looking at October or November. Wow. Some of them as late as January.
God. So like if I wanted a Crockett 5 in a 56, how long would I have to wait for that? just out of curiosity.
Some of the more, you know, niche end of the spectrum. There's a little bit healthier supply. Okay. It's the basic mountain bike, road bike.
Okay.
It's stuff from like the, you know, the $4,000 price point is basically decimated.
Just wiped out. Good lord.
Yeah, Brian pulled that one out of his. What about
actually 54?
I
like it in the Miami blue teal fade
off of Amazon.
54.
That's how like
5'10". 54. Yeah,
Brian's gonna leave this podcast with a bike on backwards
with a $2,000. That's crazy.
So you know.
Just out of curiosity. Good. Alexa, I can't have it even if I wanted it.
Don't. Yeah, you can't be mad at me now. I was joking.
I say move up the wedding. That's how you solve that problem. You said not until I'm married. You just move up the wedding.
She's gonna kill you next time she's in here.
I just solved the problem right there.
She's gonna kill you. I want you to know that the Boone 7 in a 54 is readily available. Uh-oh. I could have it here by what's today's Wednesday?
I'm gonna say that's a.
We could have it by Friday.
Basically, a carbon crack it. So
I mean that's. We can have it by Friday.
Alexa, don't listen.
Do you guys help people bridge like used sales? Is that something you guys are having to do lately, or
that is something that we have done not in any kind of official?
Sounds
capacity.
Like a nightmare. So I asked that with Timid, but you might not have a choice soon if there's no bikes left.
There have been a few happy incidents where somebody's looking for something, mm-hmm. and. Someone else just...
The guy in line behind them is like, hey, I'll take that
somebody
one.
Somebody was lucky enough to have something new to that was available to purchase, and that person was like, hey, I want to get rid of this, and I have arranged a couple of...
All right. That's a good way to put a Band-Aid on a crazy time.
It's all about building relationships, and I think if we can help facilitate a positive experience for people...
I just want to make people happy.
People are going to come back. It's about getting people in the sport, making them happy about the people that are selling, you know, the bikes, or, you know, creating that experience that's going to get them to come back, you know.
Love that. Can I share a dumb thing I always thought?
I would love to hear that.
I remember when I had my first bike, I thought I could only take it in to be serviced at a bike shop that sells that branded bike.
I don't think that's a crazy thought. Yeah.
You don't think that's no.
We get that every day. I have a Cannondale.
Do you guys service those?
Do you guys service those? So in today's, there's so much that is proprietary. So it's getting increasingly more difficult. And I think that's why that bike shops have to kind of get away from being dicks. Where, you know, I would like to feel comfortable reaching out to other shops and say, you know, with people that are regulars here and want to deal with us, I want to be able to reach out to a Cannondale shop and say, hey, can I get this proprietary part from you?
Because how the fuck can I make this lefty work? I don't know.
Yeah, yeah, like, exactly. Things like that. I mean, there's some stuff that are necessary, you know, be it Trek, be it Cannondale, et cetera, where you can only get it as a Trek or Cannondale or et cetera dealer.
Can you give me just... I have a tertiary knowledge. What are other than like Lefty Fork? I guess that makes sense. That's pretty unique to Cannondale. What are some other things that might be, you know, that only maybe you could do because the it's Trek only?
May I answer that question with a question?
Oh no!
Hey, remember that one time when you called Specialized and yelled at them?
I think you touched a nerve there.
I'm trying to remember. I don't remember the details of it, but yes, I do remember that.
Something you drank heavily afterwards. So I don't remember.
I yelled happy birthday because it was their birthday.
But no, like with Trek, I mean, you're going to have your proprietary bottom bracket. I mean, they do the BB90 press fit kind of deal that's special to them. It's actually not the best thing in the world. But I mean, just like suspension parts. Yeah.
Trick is ISO speed, and it's not like, super hard.
ISO speed, like, it's just anything that you need specific to the frame, suspension parts, pivot points, all that kind of stuff. You know, unless you're a specific dealer to that. I mean, I've established relationships with some other shops that has allowed me to continue to, you know,
Cannondale
continue
shops,
to service, specialized, you know, some of these more specialized, you know, more proprietary things.
Do you think bike makers, bike creators are sure, that's the word I was looking for. I just couldn't think of it because I'm a dummy. Do you think
it's our PR coach coming in?
I know, we need to have an episode.
Sorry,
I need it. Do you think, wait, what did we call it? Producers?
There we go.
Do you think bike producers are finally like generalizing more or less lately? Do you think there was like a
I think they're becoming more proprietary. Yes, they're trying to make it where you're going to go to a Trek dealer. No, you're going to go to a specialized dealer.
So
which is unfortunate because, you know, it makes it hard for the consumer to find a shop that they're
it's got to be just nuts. So I saw the new Cannondale Topstone Carbon, not bring Cannondale up again. But now they have it with a lefty suspension fork on it. And so they're adding.
I just want to say that I hate lefty forks.
Yeah.
A lot. I'm not going
to. I was going to say, I'm looking at one right now. That's why it came to mind.
Yeah, it's. I don't like asymmetry, and
oh, that's the key of it. Yeah, but they're
in nature, like
it's there for
everything
me.
Is drawn. Like you're more drawn to people that are more symmetrically. Mm-hmm. You know, whatever. I just went down a dark path in my brain that will just. Yeah,
I also take now, that. I take it back. It's not. It's not the Topsoil Carbon. It's their new cross country race rig. But the scalpel, the new version of the scalpel now has it just the carbon flex in the back, kind of like the Super Kale does. But the way that they were able to get bigger tire clearance, that they dished the wheel differently, like on the left side, so that like anyone putting a new wheel on, they had to dish it differently. Yeah, like, that sounds insane.
I hate Cannondale.
Like, that is insane.
Why did they do
that? I just want to say that Cannondale is owned by.
Puffy?
The Pacific?
Yes. Yeah, it is, yes.
Puffy and all and, the other, like, Walmart like, brands.
Is that like Red Line and stuff, too?
Basically, I mean...
I used to have a Red Line BMX.
Yeah, this giant conglomerate, it's like
they did.
Called Pacific
used to.
Or something, oh, and they bought up all the old names.
Pacific.
Diamondback. Okay. Well,
yeah, see, yeah, it is that.
All this, and then people are doing this brand recognition, like, I couldn't afford this when I was a... When I was younger, but now they're like $150 at Walmart. This is great.
You go to their website.
And they own Schwinn, too.
And
I mean,
the top banner is like Diamondback, Redline, everything you just said. And you just switch through. It's like, why not? What's the? I mean, I guess you have the SEO.
Well, I mean, it shows how important marketing is. I mean, people have this brand recognition like they did with Schwinn back in the days. And it just, you know, it clicks in their head. And they're like, man. Jeez, these were so expensive back in the day. And they don't really think about what's actually going on in real life.
All these companies went bankrupt, and this one company bought their name.
That's crazy, yeah. Happened in snowboarding, too. Somebody bought Forum and Foursquare.
Well, I think it was the aforementioned
I think it was Burton. So good for them, but...
yeah.
It's just, that's nuts. So.
Big time.
It's
going to
be like the longest
podcast. It's going to be long.
Guys, we've barely been going for an hour. It's an hour, 3 minutes.
An hour, 3 minutes, yeah.
I like it.
What are, as a bike shop...
And we have to cut like half off. I'm sorry.
Yeah, as a bike shop, kind of as people of Rockford, of the Grand Rapids area, do you guys have like a goal for the Rockford bike shop?
Like, what's your vision?
Yes, we want to take over the world.
Well, I do like that.
Yes.
I'd be okay with that.
Yeah, yeah. World domination is our goal.
World domination, okay.
But an alternate goal is to just get as many people on bikes as we can because it improves lives.
Wow.
I love it. That's awesome.
Do you work in marketing?
I don't.
Okay.
Larry might hire you.
Making the world better, two wheels at a time.
Two wheels at a time. That should be out there on the sign. Underneath it.
I love cycling. I think it's great. I think one thing that we're going to see is we're going to see an increase in people using bikes to commute. We're going to see more e-bikes. I think e-bikes are one of the greatest things to happen to cycling.
We talked about e-bikes for in depth, though.
I think people have like such a negative idea of them, like it's not exercise. They've actually done studies now that have shown that and I'm not talking about when I say e-bikes, I'm not talking about ones that you don't pedal. I'm not talking about ones you can
like throttle
down the White Pine Trail.
Electric dirt bikes.
yeah, exactly. I'm talking about ones that it's an assist. It's really growing the opportunity, especially for as we age, it allows us to do something that we normally a lot of people are coming back to cycling that had hung up their bikes for years. And I think moving forward, it's going to be a great opportunity for commuting, getting out of cars. I think people realize that their cars have been kind of stifling their whole existence.
Yeah,
you know, they're expensive, they pollute.
They've been commuting when they could be riding a bike.
Yep.
They've been commuting by car.
And they're just as healthy as riding a regular bike. The only difference is,
You're going further
and you're going faster.
Yeah.
People are only going to go as hard as they're going to go.
Yeah.
But if they have that e-bike experience all the time, back to, you know, we mentioned Jochen, you know, earlier on, and he came in and borrowed. He's like a second father to me. He's, you know, he got me into racing. He was a big mentor for me. And he's like 83 now. And he's still super active. And he got an e-bike. And, you know, it was like he would ride the White Pine Trail with his young friends in their 60s. And, you know, he was having a hard time keeping up. And all of a sudden, instead of doing, you know, the key to him being where he is now is because of his fitness and staying active and in keeping moving. That's critical as we age. And it allows people to continue to do that.
So he had cancer, and so the treatment, you know, kind of took away from his fitness, and then so he couldn't keep up with his younger friends, and he just, you know, he couldn't go as fast as he wanted to anymore. And so he would still putz along at like 6, 8, 10 miles an hour. And then we let him borrow a bike one day.
All of a sudden, he's doing, you know, 15 miles an hour.
He said, oh my gosh, I can feel the wind through my ears.
He's enjoying it more.
And he said that he felt like he was in his 40s again. And
that's awesome. That's who I think. I think that's like for e-bike, like for sure. Because I saw, like, when I kind of have a bad taste in my mouth about e-bikes. And I saw like, this really older gentleman at Merrill. Like coming up the hill up to like the picnic table area, and he had like the biggest smile I've ever seen. And I was like,
did you talk to him?
You're bad at he zipped past me, and I was like, hell yeah, dude, good for you.
I bet it was Mike Slanger,
maybe, but like super pumped, and that was cool.
Yeah, I think I just want to drive home, you know, what George just mentioned is it's not like it's a lazy option. It's not like I feel like we have to destigmatize.
I think that. There are some people that use it as lazy people.
Like if I, the only reason I want one is a lazy reason. But
me too.
You're still out there. Like, I get it.
It's not like you're working less. It's just you'll end up going further and you'll end up going faster. It's like you're still gonna ride till like you're like that's when I go for rides. I ride till I'm like exhausted. So I would just do like 3 or 4 laps.
Not a trail.
Have you? You have tried one though.
Yeah, it was awesome.
Yeah, they're so fun.
Badass.
I mean,
in California, they actually have them, like the rental scooters. They have them for e-bikes too there. So we spent every night on one of those. That's how we commuted instead of like Uber. We just took a little.
That's badass. GR's getting electric scooters to rent. By the way, side note here, I'm very excited about them.
I already have one.
Maybe bought one. I don't know.
Where are they going to put those downtown right now? Given the
probably not gonna be anytime soon, but
the recent civil unrest.
I'm very excited for when it does happen, though.
There's gonna be a couple scooters through a window.
Think like New Holland to like Founders will be just a little scooter away.
I feel like there is an opportunity for Rockford Brewing Company to have maybe a station of e-bikes that maybe they purchased from Rockford Bike Shop. To go to
the gears are turning.
To I don't know,
metaphorically and
like
for real.
Cedar Springs Brewing or Elk.
That'd be a fun trip.
I don't know.
Like the way that, like in Traverse City, we would do the kayak brew.
I'm just throwing that out to Sheehan.
Kayak bike and brew tour. So you like bike a couple miles to like two breweries, then you kayak to another brewery, and then you could probably do that right on the White Pine with something like that. That'd be pretty cool.
Yeah.
You heard it here first. Look for it. What?
When we listen to this and write it down, because we'll remember it.
Yeah, I do want to. I think I've never talked about this story on the pod. This is like a 30-second story about a negative e-bike story. Maybe we can save this one first. I don't know. That's why we're not ending the e-bike story. But this is my first encounter with an e-bike on a trail this year, and I had like a particularly like rough, stressful day, whatever was going on, and I'm out for a bike ride, and met Meryl, and my mother calls me as I get up to the top of the picnic table. I'm like, there's no one by me. I'm like, cool, I can like talk to my mom. Like, she need to talk about something. Maybe she's having a bad day too. And I'm talking to her, and I kind of want to get out of the way of people, so I leaned up against like the trail sign there by the picnic tables. Okay, cool. And then this older dude, the guy was probably 35, like 40.
He's not older.
And older than me is older. Older than I. He rips up the trail, and he parks his e-bike by my bike, and he's got a speaker on it, and it's blaring, and he lights up a cigarette, and he goes, oh, I gotta drain the lizard. And he walks behind the sign that I'm leaning on and just starts pissing all over And as I'm like talking to my mom, I was like, man, I gotta go.
You're like, fuck it, e-bike people.
And I was like, fuck e-bikes. I'm like, I hate them all.
Did it have a throttle on it?
That's, I don't, it had, I don't know what it was. I didn't, I was too angry to look.
That sounds like the kind of e-bike rider that had a throttle. It
sounds like a throttle.
I was so upset. I was just like, come on.
It doesn't sound like the rider that would go onto that kind of trail.
No,
it doesn't sound like.
There was no helmet. There was, he was just.
Yeah, no. But it doesn't sound like a legal.
Anyways.
Also, you know.
Marmots. On.
In the city limits.
I always recommend people come to you guys. I've had really awesome, obviously phenomenal experiences with you guys. I've also had some really nice experiences with Central District. They're always just super, super nice.
Yep. Nate's, I know, cool. Nate. Nate's cool.
Nate's awesome. Nate actually got Alexa's cousin a gig like building trail for the Bell Perkins project. So,
oh, righteous.
Yeah, that's pretty badass. I don't know. I guess, like,
no, he's good, and he's like very active, delayed. Too. I mean, he's very active in the cycling community.
Yeah.
You know, he does a lot for trail maintenance, and, you know, he's put on a lot of events, and that's good. And I want to see that from, you know,
yeah,
other shops. I think it's important, especially in this day and age, that we...
You have to be active in the community.
Yeah, and yeah. I think it's important for the old shop mentality to change, where... You respect people. You're trying to be a guide. You're trying to help them. You're trying to grow the pie, get more people into the sport. And a lot of the erudition of the past it still lingers.
The age of the grumpy mechanic that hangs out in the back has come and gone. And
I can't believe it even came. Why was it even? But it was a
thing. And I'm not gonna lie. I was that person. I mean, thanks to Kate, you know, I've evolved. Over time, I have my moments. You know, I definitely.
You talk to that customer. How?
She started working with us, you know, like 15 years ago, and
I'm not that old,
she was pretty.
Okay, I am.
You're 28.
Yeah, thanks.
And she was pretty critical about how I dealt with people, and I have people to this day that still come in, and they're like, you know, I remember some of my first experiences with speed merchants, and there was this guy there, and he was kind of a dick. Well, that guy was me.
No, no, oh, no.
I was. I mean,
the fact to just like notice that and to be able to adjust is miles ahead of a lot of people.
But you're
the only constant is change, and if you can't evolve and if you can't change, you know, that's why we see a lot of. I worked at Two Wheel Tango in Ann Arbor. And
it's a badass bike shop name. I've never heard that, but
it was like the epicenter of cycling in Ann Arbor and actually the east side of the state. But they continued to operate old school, and eventually they just—they're completely done now. I mean, they were selling Calagos,
so that name's open, right? If we want to change the podcast to. What was that?
Two wheel tango.
Thank you for listening. Two wheel tango. Dang, that's such a better name.
Yeah, when you say it that way, Larry, it sounds
sexy. Yeah, that's pretty good.
Maybe we should also change the name of the shop.
No, it was like it was. They had kind of a cool logo. You know, it's like this wheel, and it had like this.
Was
like
it dancing with another wheel?
Well, no, it had a rose. It had a rose through it, like it was holding the rose in its mouth almost.
And they definitely sold salsa, right?
They had to sell salsa.
No, they were old school rose.
They were like Specialized Trek, and then they did a lot of Culnagos. I mean, they had like $25,000 anniversary edition of a Culnago, and they were like gold camping all little parts on it.
Did they ever sell that, or did they just sell it for scrap?
I don't even know.
It melted down for fillings and stuff.
Yeah. Just real quick, back to the just like being like good people, being a good bike shop. Like, you guys are, like, I don't know about you, Lee, but I consider you guys like friends.
Absolutely.
Which is
same.
Like really awesome. Like, when I come in, you guys are like, hey, like, you asked me, the first thing you asked me, I think it was like, what's going on with you? And like, work. And you guys are like, oh, it's Alexa. Craig didn't say hi. He's like, hey, congratulations on getting engaged. Like, that's awesome. And like, apart from that, that's because you guys know me. But apart from that, it's like, you guys come in here and you guys are always like, hey, how's it going? How you doing? Okay, how's the day going? That's awesome. A lot of shops that I've gone into don't do that. They're kind of like, oh, what do you want? Oh, you don't want that. You want this. Go talk to so-and-so. I don't have time for this. And it's just like, fuck you. Okay.
I think that's important in any retail environment. You care about the people that are coming into your shop, and not just, you're not treating them like, you know, wheels in a cog, or like, you know,
whatever. That's a good metaphor. Take a number. That's a great metaphor right now. Yeah,
it's not just like pulling that number, waiting in line at the butcher shop or whatever. I mean, like, you have to offer that personalized service. You have to give a crap. Yeah. And it's not just in the bike shops. It's, you know, if you're going to buy shoes or...
It's anything. Or anything. Literally anything.
It's relationship-based.
That's what makes it make or break. And I think especially in retail environments like bike shops, there's a community behind it. I mean, all these people are riding their bikes together after they leave the shop. And a lot of
people
riding their bikes are riding with the people that work at the shops. So you have to have those.
It's a cool industry where you can do that stuff too. Like, you can't, you know, cook steaks with your butcher.
Yeah.
But you can ride bikes with your bike shop.
Right. And it's like the person that's selling shoes is not going to like go walk around town and be like, hey, look at my shoes together.
Modeling them off together.
But Larry, I think you nailed that though, because there are some like bike shop owners that I wouldn't want to go ride with or have a beer with or have a podcast with, you know what I mean? And you guys are just welcoming to the thing. And that speaks to, I don't know.
That's our jam, man.
You guys, but yeah, that's your jam.
So before we get too far, I want to just dial back to, you know, Brian, you started this at the beginning, but just maybe a rough, quick history, because we said
give us a history.
Speed Merchants, we said Rockford Bike Shop, just maybe like a draw a line in the sand of like what's what or what happened or
George, where did you start?
I
shout out to him.
Let's start with like first grade. What was that like?
Did you have a hard time?
So I started racing in the late 80s and I
state junior champion.
Okay. Road racing?
Cool. Yes, road.
Okay.
Road still is probably my jam.
Okay.
I'm really digging the gravel scene, but I digress. I started taking my bikes apart. I was buying parts, like tools and stuff on performance bike. Okay. In the day.
The internet was around when you were that young?
No, it was a mail order catalog.
I'm
that old. Yes, mail order catalog.
Yeah,
I said it.
They would send it out to you. That was a sarcastic question that got answered.
No, and I actually had to fill out a piece of paper and write down the part numbers and then mail it in with a check.
I've done that once, and it was, do you guys remember CCS?
Yes. Oh my God.
I just loved looking through. I was like, I could wear those skateboard shoes. They rule.
Oh, yeah. CCS, and I think I did
California.
Oh, I couldn't tell you, but it was like a skateboard
brand. Yeah. Thehouse.com, I've done that with.
They had a magazine. Oh, yeah. They still do.
But I remember first getting it, we'd do that.
The house.com.
The-house.com.
Yeah, the catalog would have an envelope inside of it.
A website when you were, because you're so young.
They had a website.
They did. Yeah.
Because I think the internet was
around. My first year of college, Al Gore invented the internet. Let's go down that path.
Al Gore, yeah. I've heard him do good things about the internet, yeah.
Good old 94.
I feel like this happens all the time, but let's steer back. Where were we?
Good call.
So, George, you were telling us about first grade. I was taking my bike apart, working at it myself, and... eventually Speed Merchants in 89, 90 moved to where it is now. It used to be behind what was called Sears and Coon, which is now Glick's. And Ken Mange was kind of, he started it with another guy, and he gave me my first job in a bike shop. So I've been there roughly off and on for the better part of 30 years.
It was Jochen that co-started it, right?
Well, he helped. He helped finance it.
Well, see. Shout out to Jochen.
Jochen. He was another original founders of it.
Who we love very much.
Absolutely.
And we're going to make sure that he hears this.
And
you're like the media coach.
You are. Exactly.
You're the publicist. Like, you got to hit A, B, and C.
Hey, Jochen.
We love you.
We love you. And so I started working there in my early teens, and around 94 graduated from graduated from high school, went off to college, and kind of just continued to go back and forth.
Where was college at?
My parents were convinced that I needed to rack up a lot of debt with an education to, you know, do what I need, you know, to find that perfect career. I mean, the sad thing about this is I'm still paying it off. Since I've started paying it off, it seems to increase with every payment that I make.
Yeah, I'm trying to figure that one out too.
I don't understand that the math there. But.
Real quick, George, where was college?
I did a couple years at Wabash. I did a couple years at GRCC. And then I did a few years, I think around 5, 6, 7 or something at U of M.
Go Blue, baby!
He says while he's wearing a CMU hat.
Awesome. So getting back on track a little bit, you, how old about when you started working at Speed Merchants, you said?
13, I think.
Yeah, 13, wow. 14.
So Rockford, basically, dang, your whole life other than college?
Or he was Grand Rapids, in Rockford? Harbor.
Okay. Yeah, I was born in Ann Arbor. I lived up in Big Rapids for a while, but mostly this area.
Great, cool.
Yeah.
All right, awesome. And then
what? I've been here since 84.
I was 2.
Hey, you weren't even.
No.
I was a good
we weren't even
5 or 6 years out. So.
Yeah.
I wasn't even an 7. Idea.
A twinkle in your dad's pants.
Well, I guess so.
Not even.
George, you're at Speed Merchants. You're 13, went to college.
You said, I'm going to run this place.
And then what you were like, I'm going to just, you know.
Yeah, it's kind of like one of those, to be honest.
Like, when did you become
college,
like,
I was like trying so hard to actually get out of the industry. I was like, I can't do this the rest of my life. I can't do this the rest of my life. It was like, okay. It was kind of like a godfather thing with the, you know.
Yeah.
Just when I thought I was out, they pull me back in kind of deal. And yeah, I came back to, I left Speed Merchants for, I worked at North Kent Cyclery for a while. I worked at Village for a little bit.
Okay.
And then at one point, something in my head was like, hey, just, you know, reach out and see if I can come back. And this is like probably 2003 or something.
Okay.
2004 maybe.
Okay.
And then yeah, I came back. Speed Merchants, it was, pardon me.
I thought you were tearing up.
No.
So did I. I was like,
no, I don't do that.
I don't do that.
I'm not that emotional.
It's okay. Let it out.
I came back at the right time. Kim was having a kid and he needed help, and the shop was still, the inside of it, I mean, you've seen the facade now. It's quite spectacular. But, you know, I kind of started saying, hey, we need to do some of this. We need to do some of that.
Okay.
And, yeah, we kind of just, it was slow. And, you know, over the, you know, 15, 16 years that Kate and I worked there, she started working there a couple years after I came back.
Okay.
And we just kind of started changing the trajectory of what, you know, Speed Merchants was doing at the time. It was kind of just mostly focused on racers, a small niche high-end, you know, clientele.
I just am reading the
Speed Merchants. What do we have here, guys?
Okay, so August,
yeah, what are you looking at?
All right, August 1994, Speed Merchants News.
This is cool. So it was like a monthly
publication. Farewell to George.
Farewell to George.
Oh, okay. My goodness.
July 30 was the last official day of work for George Swansea, our usually eager, always entertaining young mechanic, salesman, and racer in residence. George is headed for Wabash College in Indiana, and we expect that he will meet with the same quick acceptance and success that he did here at Speed Merchants. If we're fortunate, he will be back next summer.
That rules.
That's badass.
So you guys still do the publication, right?
Yeah, no.
Yeah. No?
Maybe
I don't even think I read this when it came out.
Well, why was it like sweet words? Gone. I can't believe they said that about me.
You were gone. Yeah.
For the record, I'd read it. Maybe
we'll bring it back. No, I mean, I love print.
Okay, print's even better. Then everyone has to come to the store. Maybe pick up
and also pick up our local roots. You know, name tags are over there.
Yeah, absolutely.
You have name tags?
Yeah,
I left them here last time I was at this bar.
I thought they were business cards.
They're business cards.
They're definitely not name tags.
They're not names. Like, I don't. Like, yeah.
I let him have that one. Usually, I would make fun of him for calling a business card a name tag.
So, George, you were kind of like the lead mechanic guy of Speed Merchants, and then eventually, you know, you kind of were given the reins to kind of take the shop in a little bit of a different direction that you wanted to go. And eventually, this led you guys to opening Rockford Bike Shop.
Yes.
Tell us a little bit about that those adventures.
Yeah, what's it been like, just the transition of essentially opening a brand new shop here?
You know, there's a big emotional aspect to Speed Merchants because I spent, you know, the better part of, you know, almost 30 years.
Yeah.
Working
He's
there.
He's going to cry again.
And it's, you know, working with my wife and, you know, I've been through, Speed Merchants has been through many owners. My good friend Ken Mange, who actually gave me my first job there and who was a mentor for the original owner for, he was a mentor like racing and spent a lot of time with him. I mean, he loaned me his car to go to prom so I didn't have to drive a 12 passenger van. And, you know, he recently passed.
Like a month ago.
Yeah. And, you know, Kim, God rest him. He, love the man. I've been friends with him for the better part of, you know, 25 years. He passed, you know, tragically from glioblastoma, fought cancer. And, wow. You know, his partner before him had, you know,
emotional issues.
He had emotional problems and he met an untimely and very early, you know, death.
Okay.
So, It was Kate and I decided it was
time for a fresh start.
It was Speed Merchants had some baggage, had some, you know, really important people.
And we had a good run for what it was.
Okay.
It's an amazing story. There's a lot of history. There's
a deep love.
There's a deep love and there's a lot of emotions around it. And it's made the transition somewhat difficult. I mean,
okay. Yeah,
especially with like, you know, the team and stuff like that. But it was kind of like it was time to start anew, time to have a fresh breath, time to write our own story. You know,
I think that's awesome.
It makes sense to me. Yeah.
That was a big part of what got us to where we are here. You know, a lot of guidance from Kate. You know, I couldn't have gotten here without her, and she's, you know, she's been the big driving force. She, you know, was the one who, you know, did a brilliant business plan, got us in a very fortunate position, and we just had a great opportunity. And
the stars kind of aligned and it made sense.
We wanted to get away from speed. The history of the Speed Merchants was like hardcore. It was almost kind of like,
it had a reputation.
You can't just go there. You have to know somebody.
That's
what it was in, you know, the late 90s.
Early
2000s. All the hardcore racers went there. And, you know, we have affiliations with some really big players in the cycling community.
And it's very cool, but at the end of the day, we still are serving a local community.
Yeah.
It goes back to what we were talking about earlier.
We wanted
to embrace more people. We didn't want people coming in and going, okay, this isn't the place for us. Speed, no, we're not racers. You know, we wanted something that just, we wanted to create
a
story
based.
That is more open, community-based. You know, we have
going
things.
Going forward, we want to, like, have more things that benefit the community. We want to be more driven with, like, community-driven giving back opportunities.
Yep. Before this, the COVID hit, we have a yoga instructor that's willing to come in here. And one of the reasons that we wanted to, you know, get into a bigger space is to offer more opportunity to interact with people. And one of those things was having cycling focused yoga classes.
Okay. I'm in.
When's that happening?
We're getting closer to that being able to happen. But I mean,
it's only been a couple of months, right? Like, things are just gearing up and you've already taken such leaps ahead.
No, heck yeah.
Plans we had before.
You still have mug club plans, right?
Yes.
What is it? You get pint glasses were ordered.
Pint glasses and free stands?
Well, fill me in on this, or am I not allowed?
You might not allow it. Okay. If you don't know Larry, you don't
if
know.
If I don't know, so obviously.
Oh, no, so we're going to service people's mugs.
Eventually. They have like a mug. Oh. Box, so, yeah.
So you come in here, you buy your shit, and you have a beer.
Yeah, yeah. You can procure bevies over here. There.
We'll
you can come in,
mug.
And you can pour it, and then we'll clean it for you at the end of your consumption period, and then
we'll have it in a case, you know. So
okay. So Craig, I mean, let's now we can get to you now. I'm just curious, how long have you? What started your adventure here? Like, always a bike mechanic, and you shifted here, or
yeah,
give us a little background.
I was in the grocery business for 25 years. I worked for D&W. I've always kind of hung around speed merchants, and it was, you know, I sort of was ready to make a change, you know, out of that. And, I came in here looking for some extra work, and, you know, I didn't really, you know, you think, you know, a lot about working on bikes. I mean, I could change a tire. I could, I could do a few things, but it's really humbling how much you don't know until you actually start working on bikes. So George kind of took me under his wing, and George and Kim, God rest his soul, passed away, but George, he's been so patient with me and showing me so much, and it's awesome. But I've been here for probably 8 years now.
Dang.
And I've kind of worked my way, you know, I feel like I know pretty much. There's still so much more I don't know, but sure. I'm grateful that George is here to show me all that. And I love being around bike people. I love, you know, working on bikes, you know, selling bikes, talking about bikes.
Right.
And winning bike races.
And he
is a legend.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm kind of curious about. Did you start riding bikes and that's what led to bike shop life? Or
have you always been, did you come out the womb fast, or like, how did you get fast?
Okay, well, I was the youngest of seven, the whole, you know, 6 hour.
Oh, he's keeping up.
Anyways, so we grew up, I lived out in Ada, we had motorcycles, and as young as I could remember, I was riding dirt bikes. And then, you know, we built a BMX track out in our back field. And so I started doing BMX, and then I raced motorcycles for a while. And, you know, when I got to be about 15, it got to be a lot of work, and my brothers and my dad kind of moved on, kind of wanted to stop taking me to the races every weekend. So I got into BMX, and then that eventually led to mountain biking when I was about 21, and I'm like 56 now. So do the math. I mean, that's like 35 years
of training to go fast.
So, I mean, I was basically, I've been mountain biking since pretty much the beginning. I think that rules. I've done most of the Iceman races. I think
that's,
you know,
cool.
I might have missed. I probably done 27 out of what?
Wow!
30.
Wow! Yeah.
Do you save your plaques? Do you have like a big wall in your garage?
I'm not that good about saving.
So he's cool.
So he's cool. Yeah.
I get a few medals.
Thing I get from Iceman. I like
most of them are in a basket.
A wall.
I could probably dig a few of them up, but you know, I don't live in the past. I try to, you know, and I got some good memories, but. You know, I just try to enjoy it for today, and you know, I still love racing, which is amazing after, you know, so many years. And I really embrace cyclocross. It's sort of and it works out well with working at the bike shop because it's in the fall and you know, things slow down.
Finally, right? Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, and it's fun, and so yeah, that's about the gist of it.
Cool. So you're more into cyclocross than mountain biking lately, or do you still split it pretty evenly?
Mostly I focus on cyclocross, but I'll do a few mountain bike races, and just to, you know, I like to do Iceman still, and you know, a couple along the way. So
sweet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's like the dude.
Yeah.
The legend of Rockford.
Yeah. What is your longest ride you've gone on?
The longest ride I've
on a bike.
On a bike. Not a skateboard, a bike.
Oh, I can tell you about my longest skateboard ride, too.
Let's hear both.
We got to hear both.
Yeah, you can't just tease
that. That's an epic story.
So I've done Lumberjack Once I finished, okay. I did it on a single speed and had a pretty good
ride. You did it on a single speed?
Mm-hmm. So like, I did it under 8 hours, so that was pretty cool. The last time I tried to do it, I was thinking I was over 50, so I thought I could maybe hang with the over 50 masters class, and I blew myself up trying to stay with some guy who was the national points leader of the new series. Oh, so I really had no business staying with him, but I ended up not finishing that race. But anyways, 100 miles, I don't do it very often. It's really not my thing. I'm more into the short, fast races.
Okay.
The skateboard.
Yeah, let's hear this story.
One night when it was, there was a little, probably some drugs and alcohol.
As the best stories start.
It's all good stories start.
And, you know, we lived out in Easttown. We had this wild and crazy idea to skateboard to Grand Haven. So.
Okay.
Me and two other guys. We had our skateboards and, you know, we got on the highway. You know, we didn't know how else to get there.
Regular skateboards or longboards?
They're regular skateboards. Whoa. It was kind of before the longboard.
Okay.
So we got on 96, headed for Lake Michigan Drive. We got off at the Lake Michigan Drive exit. And it was like, man, it was crazy because it was like, it was like almost 2 o'clock and we were thinking, all right, we got to get to the next party store before it closes. And we pull into, was it Standale? And the party store was like 2:05 and we freaking missed the last call and we were so bummed. So
you turned around.
We kept going to Grand Haven, but we had to just do it on like Mountain Dew and Skittles or something. We made it. It was like, you know, the sun's coming up and we're skateboarding down Lake Michigan Drive and we should have been killed. I mean, there's no reason.
It was just like a two-lane highway back then, right? I mean, it's not like...
That is wild.
That's a sweet story.
And we get to the beach and we're just like hungover and dead. We just laid there and got sunburned and just managed to get a ride home.
I was going
to
say,
did you make it home?
That would be the worst part of the whole
skate
thing.
Home?
One of the stupidest things I ever did, but it's a great story.
Yeah, so.
It's awesome.
All right, Brian, how far, how far do you think you could skateboard?
I think I'd top out at, 5 miles.
You think you could do 5 miles?
Yeah.
Skateboard or
longboard? I used to Strava, longboard.
I'm a longboard, maybe, but,
longboard,
a regular.
Yeah.
All right. I guess maybe, 2 miles, I think. I'd just be so, my leg would give out.
Yeah. Did you switch,
no,
kick feet?
No, I wasn't in a position to try anything new.
Muscle memory.
Yeah.
But the crazy part is the foot on the board got really numb and tired compared to
you're doing a squat though. Yeah.
Compared to the foot that was pushing was fine. But
I guess one's moving
on the board
and then
got tired.
I don't know.
It was weird.
Yeah.
Anyways,
that's awesome.
That's
it
weird.
It was quite an adventure. And I had my disc camera with me. Remember that? You guys probably don't remember.
Whoa, yeah, I know exactly what you mean.
But I got some sweet pictures. I'll show you some.
Sweet.
What's a disc camera?
Can you tell us?
It was like one of these, I think it was a Kodak product, and it was almost like a Viewmaster. It had a little 12 cartridge disc that you put on, and then you still had to take them.
That
and
is
get
not
them
even close to what I thought. I take it back.
I
don't know.
Viewmaster was like,
it was
preloaded
pictures. It was like a Viewmaster, but when they came out, the negatives came out, it was like a little circle, and it had 12 pictures.
Okay, yep.
That's cool.
And they were kind of like the Walkman of cameras. You know, they were small and cool.
Yeah.
So
that's awesome.
And I was like, for a while, I took it everywhere I want. But I don't know.
That is wild.
Okay. I love that.
Well, that's a badass story.
Yeah, before we move on, do you have any other gems that you're sitting on?
No, I mean, I played in some rock and roll bands.
Sure, yeah. I think Brian and I actually came to see you one night.
Yeah, so recently, I got a band now. We're called Rogue Fraternity, and I used to play in a band back in the 80s. Was it the 80s, George?
90s.
Can't even remember.
Called Melkhouse. We were kind of famous around Michigan. We played a lot of the college towns. And
that's sweet.
Opened up for some pretty big bands.
What's the biggest band that you opened for?
We opened for Tragically Hip, and we opened for No Doubt.
No shit.
Yeah. That's cool. I didn't know that.
Yeah. That's awesome.
It was actually before No Doubt got really famous. It was at the Intersection.
Cool.
Kind of making it big, and they sold the place out, and we didn't even really get to see them. They had a bus outside. We had to get our shit off the stage.
they couldn't even see you.
And we couldn't even hardly get back in. So It was still pretty cool. So
yeah, that's awesome. What kind of genre were you also like? Kind of like punk ska?
Yeah, it was sort of pop, 90s pop, okay. You know, alternative. But so, you know, just it was pretty good songs. So
yeah, it had to be right.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
I found his band's sticker, bumper sticker, on the bathroom wall of the men's room. I think in one of the episodes of It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
Oh, really?
You know, where they've got like all of the band stickers. Sure. And I was like, that's Craig's band. It's great. So now
that's cool as hell.
I have to find the episode that it was on. It was only one episode I could see it, but it was cool.
Can try to let us know, and we'll put it in like the description of the episode.
If I can ever find it. Yeah. You know how many seasons there are.
Right, there's just, like, cool.
Just like fast forward until I get to the
I did a lot of underage drinking at his shows. he's the rock star, and I knew him, and I could get into Intersection because I got to know the bouncers. And it was kind of cool. I get to know people at Mulligan's, and you know, I'm doing pretty well at, you know, 18, 19 years old. So.
Yeah. Encouraging underage drinking.
Not encouraging.
I don't think I was encouraging. I'm just, you know, we all do this stuff.
I was going to say, Brian and I have let a couple underage drinking stories slip on here that we don't condone.
We don't condone it.
No, absolutely.
But it's never not fun. Until you're 20.
I do agree with that, though. I still am not mature.
No, I don't think I should be allowed to have beer ever.
No, the wisdom that I have now when I over imbibe is definitely, you know, it's something that with age, you know.
Okay.
I agree.
Yeah, so
that's wonderful.
Craig, do you have any kind of cycling goals in mind?
Or like words of wisdom to the young cyclists out there? Like there's like
young, these guys
like young aspiring cyclists listen to
tell
this.
Us how to be fast.
I've only been riding for like 3 years.
You know, so many people want like the gem or the secret, and for me, you know they like what tire pressure, what's the optimum tire, what's the best gear ratio, or and for me it's always just been about trying things. And you know, there's no real perfect answer, but I think, you know, riding a single speed, I did that for a lot of years, and I think you can learn a lot by riding a single speed, you know, how to go fast, how to spin fast, and how to crank it up the hills, and how, you know, to keep that momentum going through corners and whatnot. So I think there's a lot to be learned from single speeding, but you know, I think
you got to put the work in to say,
yeah,
I think that's what he's saying. Yeah,
the biggest thing is to have fun. You know, I'm lucky to have some natural ability. I mean, and I know there's a lot of guys that are levels above me that have more natural ability, but so I know I'm lucky to be able to still be doing this after 55 years of skateboarding and snowboarding and you know, just piecing myself together. But yeah,
we'll have to have you back on in the winter when we get back into snowboarding time.
No kidding.
Yeah, I got a lot of good snowboard stories too.
I was gonna say George
used to ride for
Shreds too.
Burton awesome. Back in the old days. So I got some.
You rode for Burton?
Good Jake Burton stories. So
what?
There's a snowboard video called Ride, and it's like the history of snowboarding, and starts with a snurfer. I swear to God, we probably see the back of him in that movie.
That's so cool.
Because I think it was like they show at one point, because it was also Bill and Paul's too or something. Yep. And I think you see that in one of the scenes in there. But this guy knew like Craig Kelly and everything.
Cool.
Excellent. Yeah. Thank you.
Craig, thank you.
All right.
Were you trying to get rid of him?
No, I just I knew that he's been trying to.
He's got to go chop the damn tree down.
Oh yeah, he's got to. You got to go be a lumberjack.
I just see him getting antsy.
No, yeah. Thanks for coming in, and thanks for showcasing the shop, and
it's been a blast.
See us, and
absolutely, and I'm dead serious about some snowboard stories down there.
Yeah, for sure. I love it.
Craig, thank you for being on the podcast one more time, and thank you for all the help you've given me biking. Been an awesome dude to meet. You're fun to ride with, fun just to hang out with. You got a killer band. Check his band out, guys.
Rogue Fraternity.
All right.
Yeah. Thanks, Craig. Nice
to see you guys.
It's been a blast. Nice seeing you, man.
Oh, no. I'm enjoying my sitting.
No. Brian.
No. That with the light. That is with Miller Lite. Oh my God.
Ooh, okay. Man, what do you need?
I mean, if you're going to screw shit up, it might as well be like a 120 minute IPA or something like that.
This was the last episode because Brian.
Oh no, I think we're okay.
Did it go in the keyboard?
A little bit.
Sticking in rice.
We can go get rice right over
here. Oh no, we're good because I can't. Well, if I turn it off, then we lose the recording.
Save it real quick.
Just turn it upside down.
Command
all
S.
Way, all the way up.
I don't think I had enough in there. I've spilled stuff before.
I've spilled before.
There's six other different kind of beers in this laptop already. So, well, I had like a game or something set up where we were going to like go through different things that you should buy at a bike shop, or you should buy used, or you should buy.
Buy everything at the
online.
Bike shop.
I'm gonna say yeah.
I'm just kidding.
Well, okay, so I need a new helmet. That's for sure something you need to buy new.
Yeah,
right?
Do not buy.
I would never ever.
But are there some things
like buying used gloves?
Ew, never. So I would never. All right, this is what made me think of it. Is Brian has bought a used jersey.
I bought a used jersey.
Don't ever buy used shorts.
Don't ever buy used shorts.
I would never buy used shorts. I would never buy a used jersey.
That's a thing. People do buy used shorts.
People do it.
With like chemis?
Yes.
Oh, no.
There are stories that we will share off the air. But not on air.
Okay.
To protect the seller.
We actually had a... We have a very dear friend of ours.
Do not.
Who was in a breakaway. At a race.
Don't do it.
Many moons ago.
He dropped back
from the breakaway group. He ended up winning the race, mind you.
He won the race, okay.
And he dropped back.
Is this a Dirty Sanchez story?
To pull down his shorts so he could shit.
While riding?
Yeah, while riding.
That's wizards.
While riding?
Yes.
So,
but yes, he did shit in the middle of the race. And he proceeded to pull his pants back up. And
was it a road race?
Yeah, it was a road race.
That's way worse. Like, that makes it like...
Just composting the...
More, like,
so, that being said, is there anything, like, shit, I would recommend riding to someone... Like your very first bike, for instance, when you only have like $300 or $500 at the top that you want to spend, like probably buy used. Make sure you even like biking. Or do you disagree? Or do you think that there's other things like that maybe you would?
I think there's good options at about the $500 price point. The problem with buying used is you never know what you're going to get.
Oh, I bet. Yeah.
I mean, I would say, you know, have it evaluated. I think there's some consignment shops that I've heard positive things about that sell bikes in that range that are used.
Yeah, that's a
COVID's trend. Made used stuff really expensive right now. So
true.
But
because we already talked about it. It's hard to find bikes.
There's a lack of bikes.
There was a guy that called like a week and a half ago. He's like
decrease in.
He needed a part for one of his other bikes, but he goes, "Yeah, I bought this bike 3 years ago and I rode the crap out of it, and I just sold it for $100 more than I paid for it new."
That's what happened with my very first bike. Well, I bought it used. I didn't know if I was going to be into biking. Rode it a whole year, sold it for like $50 more than I paid for it, and it was just like a intro level like felt mountain bike with I don't know.
Hey, buddy,
it's very basic.
So I think you just answered your own question.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Are you winning buying used?
It depends on the
I mean, there's a lot to be said about
your
warranty.
Bike,
there's a lot to be said about, you know, if you buy it from a shop, you know, we sell used occasionally and we are going to, you know, take care of the consumer because that's what we do.
Right.
But you know, you're buying from other people. And if you're at that kind of, you know, such an infant stage of the sport where you really don't know, I think that you risk not going to a qualified, good, welcoming, educating local bike shop.
That's true.
I think you can jade your experience with cycling.
Yeah.
You get a bike that's the wrong size. You get a bike that just doesn't work well. And then all of a sudden, if you're really that virgin to it, all of a sudden this something that you see everybody else having a good time doing, it could be a catastrophe. So I think having a guide, if you will, in the process that kind of helps, you know, you find that proper fit, you know, proper style, et cetera, I think it's going to make for a much more lasting relationship with, you know,
and that's a great
the
point
cycling that, experience.
Yeah, I didn't bring this up, but I had 3 or 4 other friends who've been mountain biking for 3 or 4 years each, and I got to text them every step through the way, should I get this bike? Should I get this bike? And, you know, I guess a lot of people don't have that luxury, so that's another great reason probably, you know, stop in your local bike shop first. What about some other things that, like, absolutely no-nos, like, it's like unsafe to buy used or something like that. Is there anything along those lines?
It's all about how much it's been used, but like
helmets, 100%. I don't think ever buy used helmet. God, like,
or shorts.
Don't ever fucking buy shorts.
Yeah, I mean, they might have been pooped out of during a race.
I will say, so, but the short or the jerseys that I bought, it was like a vintage Iceman jersey and a vintage like Coors Light jersey. Like, it was a dope jersey. That's why I bought it.
There's that.
I'm defending it.
But how often are you going to wear that as opposed to like having it like on the wall? Like, look at this badass thing I have.
Yeah, I wear
give
surprise.
Give him all the vintage jerseys so we can get rid of them.
Yeah, there we go. Yeah.
yeah, if I haven't already. Actually, I want to get
I wanted to defend my used jersey purchase there.
So jerseys are much more acceptable than shorts.
And I've used shoes before.
I mean, that's
used shoes. Let's talk about that for a second.
Let's talk
to
about
me,
foot function.
Ew, no way, never in a million years.
Well, because you don't wear fucking socks with your shoes.
Sometimes.
So, like, if I knew that I was buying
sometimes
shoes from you, I would say
sometimes you don't.
Don't.
I have sold shoes, but I justify it because the shoes of mine that I sell are like $400, $500 shoes.
Yeah, that's
so,
what I bought. I didn't buy your shoes. Yeah,
mine were $600.
Yeah, but like right, the uppers and stuff, that still did suck up sweat that you can't replace.
Yeah, but sweat is sterile.
No, and as a public service announcement, while we're talking about gross things, people should really replace their handlebar tape frequently. I mean, you sweat on it,
disgusting.
It gets gross.
When how frequently? Like,
how much do
you a couple
sweat?
Times a year. It's like $20 or $30 a roll.
I do.
There's
like,
people that literally have their handlebar tape, the same handlebar tape from when they bought a bike 30 years ago.
It's the only
and
thing
that too.
Good tape job that's still holding up there.
So, but you sweat on that stuff. And if you buy a used bike, please, for the love of God, replace the contact points.
Change
at that. Least the grips and the handlebar tape.
And the saddle.
Especially with,
the
you know, not to bring up
especially
COVID again.
Especially the
but,
saddle.
I feel like you got to change the saddle, right?
Yes, hashtag COVID.
Hashtag COVID.
Which one? 19, 18, 17?
Hashtag COVID-19/20.
Yeah. 20's coming in fall to local theaters everywhere.
But no one will be going to the theater because they're not going to be reopened.
I never thought about replacing my bar tape. I would just like, if it gets discolored, then I'll buy a new one.
That's why you don't buy white,
and like
right?
It gets
as long as you're not also wearing used gloves.
Yeah.
Would you were
yes,
you were joking?
We'll add that to the list. No used gloves.
Yeah. Ew.
Yeah. No, buy used gloves.
Yeah.
Anything
because, like,
that you could buy
that,
new
like,
for
smart.
Under like $40.
You cycling
just
caps.
Yeah. No. I mean, if it's less than $40 or $50,
just
buy
suck
a
it
new.
Up. Yeah.
Yeah.
Or tires. What about tires?
It's if it
ooh, I bought used tires. The tires on my bike right now are used.
I think you can kind of get away with it because it's something visible
you
that you can see.
I mean, are they used or are they takeoffs?
Sure.
There's a difference. Like maybe somebody was like, "Oh,
yeah,
I did
100 miles on them."
Oh,
I would say to minimize
Jackson the Bassett
used stuff that comes into contact with your
body
flesh
with any fluid that comes out of your body.
So that was Larry's super awesome segment that everybody here loved.
Yes, Larry, we loved it. Thank you.
What about just, you know, maybe a good way to wrap up? What about some good advice for like owning a bike that someone might overlook? Or like for me, I probably don't clean my bike as much as I should. Or I mean, that's like an obvious one. Is there anything like, you know, the obvious things are probably clean your bike.
Wipe your frame down is good. I mean, inspect it. Always look for cracks, stuff like that. I mean, those things can happen. You don't want any catastrophic failures. But, you know, anytime I really advise that people don't work on their own stuff.
Okay.
I can back that one up.
Yeah.
So
I mean, it really comes down.
I don't work on my bike that often as a mechanic.
Nor does anyone else.
You know, I can go online and I can figure out how to do my own brain surgery, but do I really want to?
Good point. Yeah.
Because bike mechanic,
I like that.
Things are as easy or as difficult as brain surgery.
They're pretty close, I have to say. And surprisingly, I mean,
they both involve masks.
We have a lot of people that come in here who are engineers and they are confounded by the complexity of the simple bicycle. And well, I shouldn't say simple because then, you know, when people go
to,
it really, when people go to work on it, you know, I've had people over the years say, hey, is this easy to do? And I'm like, yep. and it has backfired. You know, even something as simple as,
I had you put my grips on, and that's probably about as easy as it gets.
That's not easy.
I know, that's why I had to do it.
I don't put them on. I'm just like, hey, this is how easy it is for me. I ask him to do it.
I'll tell a quick fun story that I think I've probably even said on here before, but I remember thinking I could bleed my own brakes, and I buy the kit online, I get it all done, and I go through bleeding everything. Fast forward about an hour later, both the pistons in the back have fallen out of the brakes. Half of the fluid that was supposed to be in there is on the floor of my garage, and I had to go to a bike shop and have it done anyways.
We had one of those happen walking in the door today.
Yeah. Okay, I'm not alone.
I tried to do this, and then all of a sudden, all of the brake fluid just was all over my garage floor.
It was disaster.
I think what's better for the world is if everybody focuses on their own craft and lets other people do. You know, trying to do things yourself is cool and all, but you know, let the professional do it. It, you know, and it spreads the love and it spreads the wealth around. You know, if I need brain surgery, I go see a brain surgeon. If I need a lawyer, I go to a YouTube.
How often are you going in for brain
surgery? Yeah, you're bringing this up a lot.
Let's talk about
But no, I don't want to
rocket science
right off that point. I think that was a good point. I really like that.
Yeah.
Well, I think it's good.
Everyone has
to
a specialty.
Yeah, tinkering is fine, but bikes have gotten so complex these days with carbon fiber, high-end aluminum, firmware updates. Literally, it's good to. I think it's important to find a shop that you're comfortable with that does good work because it keeps you safe. I mean, there's times when you get to a certain level or a certain experience. I mean, you're doing 40 miles an hour. Something bad happens because you know, you're tinkering on your own. It could be catastrophic.
Getting toasted.
Oh, yeah.
You could be getting some road rash.
You know, as a working professional, you know, that the individual may be, you know, people are going to be more inclined to, you know, me reach out to an engineer, reach out to a lawyer, reach out to a brain surgeon, you know, if everyone's reciprocating that. But, you know, it's not.
Publicist is out.
I just got squirted.
Our publicist.
She hit me with a
spray
bottle.
Yes.
Wonderful.
Well, I mean, what are some closing thoughts here? I think we've been going for a while. What's a good way to bring this all home? Is there anything that you guys wanted to talk about that we didn't touch on? Or Brian, do you have questions that you wanted to touch on? We could play my awesome game again if you really want to.
I do want to play the awesome game, but yes.
George, do you have any goals for riding this year?
I would like to not get dropped on my own group rides.
Okay. Okay.
I've been a victim of a community that I've created.
Yeah, you've created everything.
You know, we kind of started out very humbly as a bunch of middle-aged dudes that rode bikes together and occasionally did races, and now we've turned into a very formidable force.
Yeah, I think you guys are all fast
on the road
shit, so.
And trail, and you know, as a mentor to a lot of these people, I find myself getting my ass handed to me by them. So that's kind of why I aggressively once you know, things were opened up where we could hang around with more than our family and dog, I started actively, you know, bringing back group rides, organized group rides. I am a brilliant route creator, and people come out for it, as evidenced by our last Thursday night ride where we had about 30 people. So I would like to, you know, be able to go fast enough where I could post up the route, so if other people get dropped, you know, they can find their way home out of the wilderness instead of, you know, them waiting up for me so they know where to turn. So that's one of them.
It's a great goal.
Yeah.
It is a good goal.
Unfortunately, I'm in a situation now where the love and passion of riding has come back.
That's awesome.
So yeah, I definitely, biggest goal is, continuing to lead rides, but to, you know, not be the slowest one on the ride.
Okay.
I don't want to be the shop owner who
doesn't participate,
mm-hmm. who's not active in the community. I never want to be the guy who's crunching numbers, trying to find out, you know, where I can save a penny here or there. I think what made Speed Merchants a remarkable shop and so like important to the community, and what has given us at Rockford Bike Shop the strong following we have in our just infancy, is being out, participating, and feeling the pulse of what people are looking for, what kind of bikes they want to ride, what kind of gear is important, and, you know, being able to get that firsthand instead of having to rely on it from someone else. So I think that's my biggest goal, is to continue to maintain relevancy.
Sorry to cut you off, Brian, but just real quick, are you getting to ride as much as you could want to, or with this new added run your own bike shop now, is it cutting into that?
I'm making it a thing. I could find an excuse not to ride, but it's turned into, I've had kind of a rebirth, as you will.
It's been more than the last couple of years.
And I'm getting more.
Cutting out some you time.
I think it's critical.
Good.
Riding much?
Yeah.
There's big box stores that are following a formulaic approach to what is successful, how you make dollars, etc. I mean, I'm a capitalist, and I'm doing this. I mean, this is our living. But at the same time, I think what separates us from other shops out there is our passion for the sport, our being active with other riders. I think I lost. We had a complicated last, you know, couple of years at Speed Merchants, but I think, you know, I feel reinvigorated going out on rides over the last couple of years. It was actually like work. And now, you know, I get dropped. I kind of like, I'm the fattest, slowest guy. And I get done with the ride and I got a smile on my face.
You still like it?
No, this past Sunday, we had almost 20 riders on our gravel ride. And, you know, we had 15 hanging out afterwards. We're all, you know, drinking beer in the parking lot at BLI. And so it's
okay.
You know, the passion's there, and I'm making it happen. I think moving forward, it is very important and critical for me to continue to, you know, be part of those rides. And to be honest, a lot of people in our group kind of miss that. I won't say leadership so much, but it was like, no, this is why we're here. This is, you created this this movement. You created these group rides. What happened to you? And now you're back, and this is amazing.
Okay.
Well put.
Yeah.
Long answer to a short question.
Yeah. Well, yeah. You're on every Thursday, road rides.
Thursdays at 6, we do road rides. We got the leg record going out at 6 on Tuesdays.
That's Tuesday, right?
And then Sunday, gravel ride at 10 o'clock. I'm out of Boswick Lake Inn.
Okay.
Well, yeah, what would be some call to actions that, you know, anyone listening to this who might not know? I mean, obviously, probably come stop by the store. Anything else that you would encourage some people to do after listening to this?
So we still have an active team page where a lot of rides get posted. If you're looking to get into riding with groups,
cool.
The page is still Speed Merchants. That'll change after this year. Mm-hmm. But you follow Speed Merchants Cycling Team, you'll get a lot of these posts. You follow Rockford Bike Shop on Facebook, mm-hmm. you're gonna get all the ride posts. So it's just, yeah, come to the shop, come talk to me, and
yeah,
you know, and we can point you in the direction, and we're pretty, we post up what our pace is. Most of the time it's lies, but
but yeah. To be more sustainable,
if it says organic, also, if it says organic, it's going to be hard.
It's going to be, yeah. So, but also for your team, like, there are some definite, like, pure elitist riders out there.
Not elitist.
There's some fast motherfuckers.
But they're not elitist.
We'll say not elitist. They're serious. Sorry. Yeah. There are some fast people. And George, you yourself, you say you're slow. You're fast. But also to be on the team, there is like the club team. Like I'll say, like, I think I lead probably the club team of being the slow people. So you don't have to be fast to be on the Speed Merchants team. But yeah, which is changing names soon. We don't know what the name's going to be yet, but it's changing soon.
All I know is that it's not going to be Speed Merchants.
It's not going to be Speed Merchants. It's going to change.
Yeah.
But to be a little bit more clear.
Oh, I would, but I'm not good at bikes.
Well, we just talked
about it. I'm good at cameras and microphones and pretending I'm good at bikes on a microphone.
At the end of the day, all I have to say is, for parting words, is just, as Queen said, get on your bike and ride.